And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, the program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Well, once again, this is not the voice of Jan Markell. This is Eric Barger, and I'm sitting in for Jan this week. She is taking a much-needed and much-deserved break, and we're praying for her, and we believe she'll be back in the saddle here next week. I'm glad to be able to share with you this week, folks. If you don't know who I am, I'm a regular guest on Jan's program, but you can go to our website, ericbarger.com, and find out more of who I am. I'm one of the speakers at her conference last week and also last fall, and I'm really looking forward to her next conference coming up in October, October 8th and 9th. You'll find information on her website, olivetreeviews.org, about the October conference. Well, Dr. Randall Price was the guest in the first hour. Terrific information. Kind of missed the break there. You know, it's my lack of expertise in radio. It's been 20 years or so since I've hosted a radio program, so trying to get used to the breaks here is a little cumbersome for me, but I encourage you to go to Dr. Price's website, and you'll find that at worldofthebible.com, and really want you to support him and pray for him and his efforts to locate Noah's Ark. Good work, good stuff, very good information. Encourage you to become a CD subscriber as well to Jan's broadcast, $25 a month. You can do that by calling 763-493-3010, 763-493-3010, anytime, Monday through Friday during business hours, Central Standard Time. This hour, I have a great guest, old friend of mine, probably the grand old man of apologetics in the world today. Ed Decker is the head of Saints Alive Ministry. You may know him by some of his books. Fast Facts on False Teaching is a book that Jan has offered for a long time, as well as Ed's classic book, The God Makers, and several others he's written. And Ed has a terrific testimony, and we're going to, I guess, start out with that. But he is just one of the best friends I've ever had, been an encouragement to our ministry, and has been like a mentor to me. How you doing, Ed?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Glad you could make it in this morning to do the interview. How far did you have to walk this morning for the interview, Ed?
Oh, well, if you count from the bedroom to the kitchen latte machine, back to my study, not far.
Well, I'm certainly glad you could come and make it that far in for the interview. Anyway, why don't you tell us about the ministry and how you got started and what you've been up to all these years?
Well, you say this is an hour show, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to limit you a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I kind of got into the ministry accidentally. I accidentally got saved, and that made a big change in my life because I was a Mormon priesthood holder, a temple Mormon, active in the Mormon church, and doing all the wonderful things that Mormons do to earn their right to become gods in the next lifetime, and get my own planet and many goddess wives and procreate spirit babies and create another world in some other planet somewhere in another galaxy somewhere. And I had my life pretty well cut out for that. And then, like I said, a long story, just short, that I went forward at an altar call in a little Assemblies of God church, the old-style assemblies, and gave my life to the Lord, asked him to clean up the mess that I was inside, and went back to the Mormon church the next week with my hands in the air saying, praise God, hallelujah, I'm saved. And they gave me the left foot of fellowship pretty quickly. And
you'd been set free, and they set you free pretty fast, I think.
Yeah, they set me free right along. You know, I said, well, you've been set free, we're going to do the same thing. And then I just immersed myself in the Bible for the next year, and sometimes 8 hours a day, and just fell in love with God and Jesus, and then began to realize how lost I really was before I went to that altar call, and began to have a Nehemiah burden for my own people, the Mormons, and began speaking to my Mormon friends. And sharing the joy that was in my life with them. And then I began getting requests to talk to Bible studies and little groups. In fact, Eric, I think that's when I met you.
It is.
You came. You were a little baby Christian.
I was a brand new baby Christian, had almost the same kind of experience you'd had, though I was not a Mormon previously. But, you know, God had come into my life and I'd fallen in love with Jesus and I began to immerse myself in the scripture. And I was a drug addict for many years and an alcoholic and a New Ager before it was called New Age. And all that went away the morning I accepted Christ. And back in February of 1981 when it happened to me. But you came to a little home Bible study in South Seattle where I was living at the time. And it wasn't my Bible study, but it was one that I attended. And here you came with a projector and a screen and showed us the film The God Makers, which has now, of course, gone worldwide. And that's probably what's caused the bulk of the Mormon Church to believe you have horns pointed, somehow coming out of your head.
Well, they just say I'm either the reincarnation of Satan in the last days, or I am the son of perdition, one or the other. And Walter Martin told me how much people hated him until they got saved, and I remember hating Walter Martin myself, who was the great apologist of this century. Last century, and my mentor, and anyway, he said, people will hate you. You just have to, suck it up. You're going to be hated. But when they get saved, they're going to love you. And I remember that hate of Walter Martin changed to love for his boldness because it was his book, Kingdom of the Cults, that actually shook me loose from Mormonism. Then he came and spoke in Seattle, and I went up and introduced myself to him. And that began a very close relationship, very similar to the one that we've had over the years, Eric. And he was a great loss. In fact, I was probably sitting right in the same chair that you're sitting in at the radio station that you're at in Seattle when we got word that Walter had died. So it's kind of a what goes around comes around thing there.
Oh, I'll never forget that particular day. You were on KGNW in downtown Seattle, where I'm broadcasting from this morning, and I was on another Christian radio station here in the area the same day, and they came running in with a bulletin that Walter Martin had been found dead. And that's one of those things I will never forget what took place. But it's interesting that even though you and I didn't know each other at the time, or I think we knew who each other was, but we had not become acquaintances and now friends. But we were on the radio at the very same time when that took place back then.
There was some dead airspace, I'll tell you, and at my radio program, because it was like somebody in my family had died. It was just such a shock, But he was a bold man, and
yes.
Even though he was a rough at times, he loved people. He had a zeal for souls that I know you have. I know that's the thing that keeps me going over the years. One more, Granny Gear, who was a Mormon for many, many years, became a Christian, and she'd get out there, and even when she had knee surgery, she could barely walk. She'd be out there preaching wherever she was. It was restaurants, bus stops, trains. It didn't matter where she was. She never stopped preaching. And I remember telling her one time she was so ill. I said, Granny, just stay home here in Arizona and just relax. And she said, honey, when I go out, every time I go out, somebody else gets to go to heaven. And I can't stay because that one person is out there that needs to go to heaven. And I think that's the thing that keeps us going, too, is that even on this radio show this morning, we're going to say some things that will lead somebody to the Lord, will lead them to think, will lead them to study what they're involved with and make a decision and actually slip over and be able to go to heaven. And that's the payback that we get in the ministry. Seeing lives change, families change, and every day in the mail or on the web or in the emails, on the phone, we hear of lives changing, and that's essential. And I know that the work that Jan does is phenomenal, and even for you to be involved with her peripherally is a fantastic thing.
Well, it is, and she's been a real encouragement, as you have also to me. And And that is why we're here, folks. I mean, we exist. In fact, at the top of our website at ericbarger.com, it says that we exist to see the lost saved and the church changed. Those are the two things. And you know, there's a thinking in the church today that obviously would run against the grain of Dr. Martin and what he taught and what you believe and what I believe and Jan believes. And that says, you know, just don't be confrontational. You know, don't rock the boat. Don't upset anybody. You know, you got to be more loving. And you hear this all the time. And yeah, I think the epitome of love, if you see error, if you see people heading toward a cliff and you know the cliff is ahead of them, the loving thing to do is go and tackle them and then lead them to the edge, even though they might be kicking and screaming, that they can then see where they were going to go unless you would have stopped them. And what we're trying to do is get in the way of people who are running headlong toward a cliff that leads to sure and total destruction. And, you know, back in those days, now that I didn't think we planned to get into this, but, you know, I've got to say that in my early walk with Christ, I was listening every day to Walter Martin on the radio, and that's really where that churning inside of me, that love, that desire to understand the faith and to share it with others and to help others who had been in the New Age movement like I had been, to help them come out of it. And it was really him that inspired me. And since his death, it's been you and Jim Spencer and others who have inspired me to continue to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And as Jude would say, there is an attack. There are false teachers around us that need to be exposed. And the loving thing to do for the saints and for the lost is to expose false teaching and to always be pointing back at the cross of Jesus Christ as the only way. And that's, I know, what Saints Alive is all about. Before we get into any of the other discussion topics here, I want to make sure we give your website, Ed. It's saintsalive.com. But why don't you tell them about your newsletter and all that kind of thing, too?
Well, I put out a monthly newsletter. Sometimes, as Eric says, it's too long, but I have so many things to say. I do a land newsletter, but mostly I do an email newsletter, and you can go to my website at saintsalive.com, and in the upper left-hand corner of the front page is a place just to put your email, and you'll get a copy of my monthly and sometimes every 3 weeks newsletter. And there I discuss the areas of Christian apologetics. I deal in the areas of Mormonism, obviously, because of my Mormon background. I deal in the areas of Freemasonry, Islam, just about every subject. And I also do a lot. I noticed this newsletter, I pulled a lot of stuff off of news reports dealing with the state of the church today in the country and the watering down of the gospel and how the world is dealing with Christianity, and for example, dealing with the fight that we have to maintain crosses in America today. The battle of the ACLU. I have a couple of articles about that in my newsletter this week, and you get to hear some of these, see some of these things. And we have in our website we have quite a bit of material. We try to make it free for everybody. You can go in there and pick up my books in the bookstore, but primarily most of my website is free. Hundreds and hundreds of articles, videos, and audio teaching. So come by and visit us.
Well, they'll find links to my site, and they'll find at my site links to yours, and that's the way it ought to be. We want others to find all the good information that's out there to be able to be encouraged with. I've got to put a plug in here, Ed. I believe every single Christian home ought to have a copy of Fast Facts on False Teaching. It is a terrific, easy-to-read guide that you and Ron Carlson wrote that deals with world religions, the cults, the occult, the New Age movement. Terrific, terrific book. It's one that I've carried through our ministry. It's one that Jan Markell carries through hers. And I just got to plug it. It is an awesome book. And obviously, The Godmakers has stood the test of time and continues to be a standard that people would go to find out about Mormonism. There is a great deal of confusion today with even in evangelical circles, we have such a confused view of what truth is. Truth is at a real premium, it seemed like, around us. This is something that, Jan and I talk about privately and on the air and at the conferences, and I do it when I go out and speak in, local churches and, travel the country. In fact, as soon as I'm finished with this interview today, I get in the car and travel to go speak tomorrow. A few hundred miles from here. So that's what's happening. And every place I go, I make the statement that that truth is at a real premium, and that the evangelicals seem to be falling into the same trap that happened to the now mainline or so-called liberal denominations 100 to 150 years ago. Our seminaries and our Bible colleges, the leaders of our denominations, right down to the local church pastors today, just not willing to stand up and express the entire gospel. Oftentimes, it's not what they're saying that's wrong. It's what they're omitting and leaving out that is mandatory for our faith, such as words like repentance and sin and judgment and hell and Satan. And those words are looked as negative and anti-growth oriented. And I know where your heart is. In fact, this week when I called you and suggested to you that I'd like to have you on as a guest today, I asked what was on your heart, and the first thing you started talking about was the lack of discernment. Do you want to
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I was Carol and I are downsizing right now, and we just sold our home and are packing up. It took like 25 cases to fill up just the boxes of books and stuff in my study. And while I was doing that, I took down a couple of my Bibles, and you kind of wear out your Bibles, and so I've got a series of Bibles starting from when I first got saved, and I was amazed at the numbers of notes that I've written in all the almost every page of the Bible, and the yellow markers and the red and purples and the you have to really dig to find the actual scripture. There's so much stuff that
I've got a preaching Bible just like that, where I've written up and down the pages,
And I could, when I was preaching with those Bibles, and I would just go boom like that, and think of a scripture, and I would just it would just open to it, And it was like a random access Bible, and I looked at my Bible that I have now, and it's very little writing in it. Maybe it's my age, I don't know, but. I realize that what's happened even in my own home church is that we have giant screens, and when the preacher is preaching, even when they're taking the offering and the guy gives a scripture, it comes up on the screen. And then when our pastor's ministering and he's really into the Word and he's got scripture after scripture, by the time he gives you the scripture, you go to your Bible and open it up to that scripture, he's on the next scripture. And so what's happened is that people would rather look at it on the screen than look at it in their Bible. And so we've become lazy. Well, it's an internet generation. Everything has to be fast. I was looking up a couple of things this morning on Cleon Skousen to talk about his mentorship of Glenn Beck. And, instantly I had material from 30 years ago in my hands. It took me less than a minute to acquire maybe 10 articles that I wanted to skim through. So we've gone into this immediate world of cell phones and texting and Twittering and all the other things that we do and Facebook, and we've developed a superficial world around us that operates, electronically.
We just can't afford to do that with the Bible. All of those things are great tools, or can be used as good tools for the dissemination of information and of the very gospel itself. But when it comes to the scripture, and as you went on, I was thinking, I'm a part of that. I use PowerPoint and I use screens and I use projectors and I use a computer, and I know you do too. But if there's any one thing I want people to do, is to follow the advice I give them at the beginning of every message. And that is, have something to write notes down with, and especially write down the address of the scriptures I'm going to use, and then go back and study them out for yourself. The problem is, it doesn't appear to me that a lot of the saints are actually going back and studying out what they're learning, even in a good church setting.
Well, I think that's one of the things, but I think we're settling for less. I think the pressure, the accusation against the Christian community that we're hard and we're hateful and we're bigots and so forth has actually affected the church so much so that, for churches to grow, the pastor has to be wearing Levi's and a rock concert t-shirt, to reach the people instead of being dressed in a suit. And, I see it in the churches that I visit that you don't pick up a hymn book anymore because the old hymns all talk about sin and repentance and you know how we have to reach God on our knees, and instead we sing 16 times a verse, kumbaya type verse, that's up on the big screen. And it's at fast pace and it's loud and it's kind of the music that you get in fast food restaurants to move you through fast.
You know, I could just hear, I know the listenership of Understanding the Times Radio, and I know so many of them right now are going, preach it, brother, because they're connecting with what you're saying. And yet so many in the church today in evangelical circles, the reason they don't want to hear any of that stuff is because they'll say, well, you want to drive people away from our church? We're trying to get them to stay. The problem is, what are they staying for? What message are we giving them once they do get in there? What are we giving them? We have watered it down to the place where we don't want to offend anybody, and in the process, what we do is offend God.
Well, you know, we're dealing with gospel light, and that's the thing that brings people in the door. And you go in and you go into the children's areas of the churches, and it looks like Disneyland with all the little, wonderful things that they have for the kids. And the kids love to go to church, and if the kids love to go to church, they drag their parents. And that's kind of one of the approaches that you see. But again, you walk out of church, someone said to me, well, on Sundays I preach love and forgiveness, and on Wednesdays I preach more doctrine. And so what's happening is that we're getting deli food at church. We're not getting the meat, and the meat hurts.
Yeah,
the
it
meat
does.
Hurts. And I'm sorry, but I needed to get hurt before I got set right with God, because not only was I a regular sinner like everybody else, because I didn't have sin in my life. I had transgressions that I had to do a work to balance my transgressions. That's another long story about how Mormons become gods. But just the whole thought of really getting down on your knees before God and confessing sin and dealing with that is gone in the church. The churches that, let's all pray the sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I thank you for that you're the Lord and Savior of my life. I submit my life to you. The Bible says in Romans, if you call out the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. I call out your name, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And they're saved. And they don't go down for an altar call. They just kind of slip their hand up, and I'm not going to embarrass you by having you come down. Just that's fine. Okay. Well,
you can be anonymous. You become an anonymous Christian.
We've got 13 people saved today. And you don't see those people back in church.
No, that's right. You become an anonymous Christian. And, I tell you, I tell people all the time, when I give my testimony, which is the thing that God has used by far more than even any of my teaching ministry put together or combined to see the lost saved, when I give an invitation, I ask people to stand, because they are making that public confession. They're saying to the world, I am making a stand for Christ. And, that's a point of breaking for a lot of people. They, if they could just stay anonymous and stay in the background and just raise their hands so only the preacher knows, well, maybe I can do that. But as far as actually letting the world know that I'm forsaking sin and I'm going to follow Christ, that's tough for a lot of people. And let me season this a little bit, too, that I know that you, Ed Decker, and myself, neither of us are saying, we've got to be really hard and cold and cruel and callous. I go to church, and oftentimes it's a joyous occasion, and there's nothing wrong with having, if you will, fun or enjoying or having pleasure as you're learning about the things of God and as you're in the middle of worship experience and so on. But there is a time for the breaking of the heart about sin and about repentance and about following
God with the
Lord.
You know, there it is right
there,
Eric, yeah. The breaking of the heart. And that's the key to it. And it's not something that you have to do every week. I mean,
sure.
You don't have to do that every week. My heart got broken on the first Sunday night in January of 1975. It's been broken ever since. You know, and you keep it broken by being in the Word, by hanging out with the saints, by living the new life, that you become a new creature in Christ, and by living that life and being bold. If you read in Ephesians 6, where it says that I pray for me that I may be bold and I may speak the things I ought to speak, you know, and that's the kind
right.
of a thing that I've had on my heart. And going back and speaking to people who think they're going to become gods and they have the only truth, and you and all Christian pastors are the hireling of Satan, is a rough job. And you've got to be broken, and you've got to love the people. You know, many Mormons say, well, you hate us because of the way you act. Well, if I hated you, I'd let you go to hell.
If you hated them, you wouldn't say a word about it. And I know for a fact that Dr. Martin and you and so many others, Ron Carlson, Ron Rhodes, so many others that I know personally, it's not about us just trying to be right. It's about the lost finding Christ. And, you know, I know there are people listening right now, even in this show, with the kind of in-tune audience that Understanding the Times Radio has and that Jen Markell has. I know there are people listening that are going, what? These guys are saying Mormons aren't Christians. Well, wait a minute. But I thought they were. They say all the right words. They say all the right things. And, you know, in the second half hour, we're really going to get into this and talk about a very well-known television and radio talk show host and his views of Christianity, who is a Mormon, or what he claims is Christianity. And before we go to the break, we only have a couple minutes here. Speak to what we know about Mormonism and how we absolutely know that Mormonism is not Christian.
Well, very simply, you'll never see a cross in a Mormon church. When you take communion or the sacrament in a Mormon church, you'll use water instead of wine or red juice, because they can't deal with the shed blood of Christ. They believe that Christ suffered for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat great drops of blood, and that it's through our works that we are personally saved. His death gave us physical resurrection to be judged for our works. Well, that's contrary to the call of Christ, number one. Number two, Jesus is not God come in the flesh. He is one of a triune Godhead, and he is the physical Son of God, created by God, who is a man, who had sexual relations with Mary, who incidentally is a daughter, to create the physical body of Jesus Christ. They believe that God lived on another planet and earned his godhood and now is the God of only this planet, and that God is a man, and that we Mormons, if we lived righteously and obeyed all the many laws of Mormonism, that we too can become gods and goddesses. Men would become gods and given many goddess wives, and then we would have spirit babies that we would then send to another planet to gain bodies so they could become gods as well. It's like a spiritual Amway system. You've got these gods who have children who are people and gods who have children who are gods and many bigger gods and gods up way up high to, you know, there's some big gods driving around and huge Winnebagos up there in the sky somewhere. You know what I mean? It's almost a Ponzi scheme.
You know, it sounds like something that Hollywood might come up with, but, you know, there might be somebody else listening right now would say, well, now why are you talking about this morning? What relevance is this to my Christian life? Folks, Mormonism is all around our world, certainly all through our country. They are some of the most sincere, nicest people. We have no vent against them. It is not Mormons, it's Mormonism. And we care enough to tell you what's going on and to explain these things to you. And some people right now are hearing these things you're saying, Ed, for the very first time. They need to be apprised of this so they can be a better witness, because I'm convinced we don't win anybody by ignorance. We win people because we understand the system they have bought into. We understand the things that drive them. And we then have the tools to be able to use the scripture to bring them to the real Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we'll be right back in a minute. Understanding the Times Radio, Eric Barger sitting in for Jan Markell, my guest Ed Decker. Don't go away.
A reminder to Radio Archive listeners and podcasters that the Understanding the Times radio show is totally listener-supported. We air on several radio stations, which allows us to bring our programming to you. Would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries for the radio outreach? You can send a check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also donate and order safely online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-493-3010. And thanks for partnering with this ministry committed to helping you understand the times and contend for the faith.
There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Once again, everybody, it's Eric Barger sitting in for Jan Markell today. She'll be back next weekend. Appreciate you remember to pray for her and the Olive Tree Ministry team. Once again, I thank Nick here, the board operator at KGNW in downtown Seattle, the affiliate that Jan is on here in the Seattle area, for being so good and gracious with me this morning and helping me get all the equipment up and running. And my friend Brian back in Minnesota, doing a great job on the board back there. I appreciate both you guys. Want to remind you once again about Jan's fall conference, October 8th and 9th at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. I was at the conference last year as one of the speakers. It is a terrific conference, several thousand in attendance. You don't want to miss it. It's exciting. It's a time of feeding and fellowship, a time of feasting on the Word of God and on Bible truths, dealing with Bible prophecy and apologetics and discernment. There's no cost for the conference. No registration fee. You want to sign up and be able to learn more about the conference by getting Jan's newsletter. Encourage you to go to Olive Tree Views. That's as in I'm viewing things. OliveTreeViews.org, and you'll be able to find all of Jan's materials and information. Mark that in your favorites. My website is ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com. You'll find thousands of pages there. Literally, I think we have 1,500. So let's say 1,500 pages of documentation and information, all of my last book, most of my second to last book, and all of our newsletters and audio and video files and so on, all free of charge up there. You'll be able to track me, and you'll be able to track my guest, Ed Decker, at saintsalive.com. One more little order of business here. The program from today, maybe you have a friend who's a Mormon. You have friends who are convinced that Mormonism is Christian. In the next half hour, we hope to convince you that is simply not the case, that Mormonism is not just a quirky, semi-Orthodox thing. It is completely off base. Mormonism has a different Jesus, a different gospel, and a different spirit. And Paul has warned us about these things. The Mormon Jesus is not the Son of God. He is not God incarnate. And we're going to come back and talk about that. But maybe you want a friend or a loved one to hear this. The radio archive of this particular program will be up Sunday evening sometime after 8 p.m. at olivetreeviews.org. Just find the radio archives there, and you'll be able to listen to the program through the Internet or to download the MP3 file. And, of course, you can also find it on iTunes. That's what I do, and my iPod then automatically downloads the new programs. Each time I go onto iTunes, I get Jan's program each week, and wherever I go in the country or around the world, I'm able then to listen to her. Even as I'm flying somewhere and can't listen to the radio, I have Jan and her guests with me. If you'd like to get the CDs of this program each and every week, the CD subscribers keep the ministry going. They're part of the main suppliers of the finances needed to take Understanding the Times Radio across the country and around the world, and to keep Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell going, and we certainly want to do that. That's only $25 a month. You receive two CDs each week, and you can do that, of course, by calling 763-493-3010 anytime, Monday through Friday during business hours, Central Standard Time, 763-493-3010. I think I've covered all the orders of business there. Well, Ed, you know, there is a lot of talk about Mormons and Christianity, and they want to look like a more enlightened denomination. And my understanding from the reading I've done, and primarily from the research that I've received from you through the years, is that if we went back in time and you were to accuse a Mormon of being a Christian, say 100 years ago, they would have probably wanted to have a street fight with you over it, because they would have claimed, No, we're not Christians. And they would even cite Joseph Smith, and I believe it was his last sermon, where he made the statement that Christians were deceived and their ministers were hirelings of Satan. So today, though, as we see the ads on television and we see and understand what's going on in the culture, Mormons are attempting, or the Mormon Church is attempting, to look like a more enlightened denomination. And I believe because many well-meaning but probably unequipped Christians don't understand that, little by little, one by one, we have people that may go to a good church this week, Baptist, Methodist, whatever it might be, that might end up in the Mormon church next week because they see the sincerity and they think, well, Mormons must be Christians too, and this is a good congregation, and they're so kind to me when I walk through their front door. What would you speak to that?
Well, it's a it's a problem, and again, back in the old days, the leaders talked about the incomprehensible Bible and the errors of the Bible, and that the truth is only out of the mouth of the prophet, and the Book of Mormon was the most perfect book in the world, and it was free of error and so forth, and that God realized that we had the great apostasy, that there was no power on earth representing God, that all the creeds of Christendom were abominations in God's sight, and that it required a restoration, and God chose Joseph Smith to restore not only God's authority on earth, but the true church back on earth. And so the Mormons believe they are restored truth that had been lost through the years and through apostasy, and that there was no one on earth that represented God in the 17th and 18th centuries, and when Joseph Smith came around in the 1800s, at that time there was no one representing God. The gospel was not preached, and the things of man, the teachings of men, were filthy in God's eyes, and it had to be restored. So there is a tremendous breakthrough, and one of the things that I have on my website is looking at the creeds of Christendom that were such filthy things in God's sight, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and things like that. As you read through them, they're a testimony of the truthful gospel. Yet those were called filthy in God's eyes by the Mormon prophets and apostles, and therefore you could not be a Christian or a Methodist and be right with God. The only way you could be right with God is to be a Mormon, and that's the same way it is today.
Well, they just don't they don't tell you that in your first visit. You don't get that
By the time you go to the temple, and they've made changes in the temple after we did the movie, the Temple of the God Makers, and revealed all this non-biblical and anti-Christian stuff that they do in the temple. They actually removed this from the Holy Temple, which was supposed to be the fully restored temple teachings and practices and rituals that God wanted in his temple.
I remember this. It was like God changed his mind overnight and faxed all the temples to take down the occult symbols and all that kind of stuff.
When I went to the temple, they had Satan... talking to a, or Lucifer, they called him, talking to a Christian pastor, and he was mocking the Christian pastor. You teach that, that you can save by grace? You know, yes, ha, 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 good. Do you teach that God is invisible, that he's everywhere, you know, that he encompasses all of eternity? Yes. You teach that he is not a man? And they basically go through the basic fundamentals of the Christian gospel, and this guy who's representing the preacher and the Christian preacher in the temple is mocked as bringing false gospel and lies to people. And so you get to a point where you fear even being anywhere near a Christian pastor. In fact, for me, as a Mormon, to go into the Assemblies of God Church was a frightening experience, because I was sitting there probably listening to a hireling of Satan. They don't believe that God is everywhere, that he didn't create all the earths and the heavens and all the, you know, the universe.
And he was a man like us and became
the character of God.
And he was a man like us and became a God. That is the law of eternal progression, the capstone of Mormonism. It's interesting you brought up your salvation experience when we were talking about that. Last evening, my wife and I put in a DVD from an old videotape of a message you gave in Winnipeg, Manitoba at the Take a Stand conference that our ministry put on in 1993. And here was this rather young, dashing, debonair Ed Decker talking about taking the communion elements in your hands and how it freaked you out, because you thought for sure that the ground was going to swallow you up or lightning bolts were going to come down if you would dare to take communion. And yet it was that event that broke you, that caused you to go to the altar of that church and lay across the steps in that altar. And as I watched you last evening, and I've seen this same message probably easily a dozen or 15 times over the last 20 years. And as I watched that, I found tears in my eyes, and I looked around at Melanie, and I said, praise God that he got through to Ed Decker, that how many thousands, even hundreds of thousands, who knows, maybe more, of Mormons and others who had followed false gospels would find Christ. How he would use you and I in this position is somehow, sometimes beyond me.
Well, you know, he can use me. He can use anybody.
Amen.
If he could use you, Eric, he could use anybody.
That's
and anybody
right.
Sitting, you know, listening to this radio program today, he can use you. I as I've gotten older, you know, I can be bolder than I used to be, and I've been reprimanded so many times of being too bold, particularly in Utah. They think that I'm a crazy man, and I've even gotten bolder in my old age, and you know, I just go up to somebody anywhere, and I just say, well, how's the Lord treating you today? And they look at you, you know, and they sort of blink, and you never know what they're going to say. They'll say, fine, or I've had people just start crying, you know, and just say, not too good, you know, I'm going through a rough time, and not say, hey, I'm a pastor, can I pray for you? And I just love that, because it's so spontaneous. But I can also speak to men in counseling in ways that I never could before as I've gotten older, because they're going to sit and listen to you to an elder rather than to a contemporary. It's a great time of my life. I'll tell you, it's just a joy. But the fact that we're dealing with Mormonism, the Mormon people are wonderful people. They've been lied to. The scriptures say in Isaiah 9:16 that the leaders of them shall cause them to err, and those that are led them are destroyed. So they're being destroyed. It's terrible. They're being destroyed.
Exactly.
These young men that come to your door are being destroyed.
You were describing how Mormonism claims to be the rediscovered only religion. That's some of the same stuff that Muhammad claims that Gabriel spoke to him in the cave outside Mecca. And it's interestingly, and I thought I might get through this two-hour program without using the word emergent church. It's one of the things I speak on all the time, but here we go. It's interesting that some of the emergent church leaders are claiming today that the gospel has never been understood correctly, that the words in the Bible haven't been defined right, and now suddenly after 20 centuries of Christianity, here come the emergent church to save us and to show us what real Christianity is all about. So, you know, it's this reinvention going on over and over. And, folks, as we get down to just the last few minutes here, and we do want to spend enough time on this next little issue, I want to define what it means to be a Christian. It's not about our good works. That's part of our fallen human nature at work that says if I'm just good enough, then somehow I can be saved. That is one of the lies of the devil himself, to think that I could add to my salvation in some way. What I've got to do is agree with what Jesus already did for me, not what I can ever do. I don't work to get saved. I work because I'm saved, and it's because of the blood of the cross and what he did in paying the eternal sacrifice, finishing the work at the cross, and then raising from the grave. And, of course, the verification of that is all through the Scripture, as Jesus quotes 26 of the Old Testament passages, verifying their validity and giving us his words and all the words we need through the Bible to understand how to live life and how to be saved and so on. You know, if you understand that Christianity is by faith and faith alone, it changes everything. And, you know, we can't be confused by people who use jargon or terms that we somehow relate to. That was one of Dr. Martin's poignant points he made many, many years ago that stuck in my mind, that the cults, we use terms that we relate to, but they've attached different meanings to them. When somebody claims to be a Christian yet doesn't believe in the things in the Apostles' Creed, the virgin birth, the blood atonement, salvation by grace, the inerrancy of the Scripture.
Well, Eric, I want to interrupt you there.
The deity of
when
Jesus.
When you're dealing with somebody in a cult, or let's say Mormonism, or even the Jehovah's Witnesses, when they say that they're saved or they use a word, you ask them, what did they mean by that? And you'll find out that the words, if you well, I'm saved by grace. Well, what do you mean by you're saved by grace? If you ask, get a little deeper in those particular terms, you'll find out that their understanding of what salvation is has had nothing to do with biblical truth.
And, exactly.
And they fall apart at the second question or the third question because they're prepared for the first question because they believe, well, you're going to use the word, I'm a Christian. And I'm a Christian just like you. Well, if you're a Christian just like me, why do I have to leave the Baptist church? You know, I mean, what's wrong with the Baptist church? We're saved. No, well, you have some of the truth, but you're missing the real truth, and you don't have the real authority. And they begin to fall apart, so to speak, when you just don't take what they say at face value because they manipulate the scriptures. If they give you a scripture, ask to see it in the Bible, ask to read the verse before it and the verse after it, and you'll find out that they are what is called scripture twisting in cult language. They take the scripture and manipulate the scripture, and that's what's happening in the emergent church. And they want the word to mean something that meets their goals and the direction they want to go. So they'll take a piece of scripture and they'll take it out and you look at it. Well, holy mackerel, that is scripture, you know. But read the context, and it doesn't say the same thing that the teacher is doing. And when you get that, you either go to the teacher and say, "I'm sorry, but you're manipulating scripture." And if they won't change it and repent, get out of that place.
Yes, amen. I mean, that's great advice, no matter which one of the different religions out there you might be trying to talk to. What you've just said is so true, and so many of them do have words that we think we relate to, and we've got to be careful that we just don't say, oh, well, they must be okay because they used a word that I know, that I relate to inside of my faith. And again, this is part of the deviousness, you know. I don't want to get off onto this too far, but I do want to mention that I had some Mormon missionaries at my door. Oh, it's been some time in the last year, and I happen to be home, which is rare for me. I'm on the road a couple hundred days a year, as you know, out speaking. And Mormon missionaries came to the door, and of course, my granddaughter came and got me. She had a wink in her eye. She knew what was going to happen. And I said to this young man after a few minutes of conversation, he was very sincere and very nice. You know how these kids are. If I see Mormon missionaries, unless I'm doing 70 on the freeway, I've just got to pull over and start a conversation. That's just where my heart is. And this fella came to my door, and after a few minutes, I said, so you believe that God was a man like me and I'll become a God like him? And he said, well, that's generally it. And he said, you understand? And I said, well, I understand that's what you believe. I said, but, you know, God has eyes and ears and hands and feet, and he looked at me and shook his head. And I asked him to open his Bible up to Psalm 91, and I had him read it. And he just melted when he got to the passage that under his wings you will find refuge. And I said, so do you have wings too? And he saw the foolishness. I saw the look in his eye, and he couldn't admit it to me. But he saw the foolishness of taking the infinite God of the universe, who is trying to explain to us who he is in terms that we'll understand with our little finite pea brains, as I call us. And
well,
I said, it's just to take that and to say that God has wings, you know. And this is what we find so often in the cults. If you dig deeper and let the context of the passage speak, it all becomes clear.
Gotcha.
Well, I guess that was an amen, brother.
You got that one going there, man.
All right. Now, let's get into this what it will be touchy topic for somebody.
Okay. First off, before we get into that, I just wanted to say, go to my website, look at my this week's newsletter, which I did because I deal with some of these things, and I deal with how the Christian community is being backed away by not only our administration, but by the anti-Christians in our society are pushing the Christians away further and further and further, and we keep backing up, and it's time that somebody stands up and takes a stand for their Christian faith and not let these people manipulate and abuse us and let them get away with it and let something like Islam become the national state church. Let's talk about...
Got to say, preach it, brother. Amen.
Well, I wanted to get into that, but we don't have 6 hours. But go to my website and pick it up. And if you want any questions regarding it, just write to me at ed@saintsalive.com.
But go ahead.
You wanted to talk about this guy who's on the air.
But let me add that you do answer your email. I know that you spend a long time every day working on that. And if people have questions, comments, even prayer requests, as far as
email.
It
may take a while, but I do answer them.
Well, I encourage people to get your newsletters, to peruse your website, saintsalive.com, and also to come to you for advice and information there too. And you know, we don't want somebody just to be writing to badger you, and I get those occasionally. I know you do, I know Jan does, but we certainly do welcome people who are serious in wanting to know the facts and the truth.
And if you have an opposite opinion, let me discuss it with you. I'm not gonna get nasty.
Hey, same
with who Glenn Beck is?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up.
Well, Glenn Beck is a Mormon who is the love child of the Christian right today. He uses the right words. He talks about God. He talks about faith. He is speaking at Liberty University as their commencement speaker this year. And he's a dyed-in-the-wool Mormon. My wife and I had dinner with a couple that support our ministry, and she says, I listen to him every day. You know, God really uses him. I said, his God is a man who lives on a planet near the great star Kolob.
And of course, that's something a lot of people don't understand. You know, we don't think he's a temple Mormon. Is that correct?
I don't think he's a temple Mormon. And the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I would be disfellowship or in the bishop's office if I said it when I was a Mormon.
Yeah.
They give him a lot of latitude. And the Mormon church helped straighten him out.
He was a druggie and an alcoholic. He sounds so good. Let me say that I believe you can accidentally become a Christian inside Mormonism by seeking the God of the Bible. But once you know what Mormonism is all about, you can't stay there and continue to be a part of that system.
And, I know we're running out of time.
I just want to say we got to pray for Glenn Beck. He has David Barton and Joel Rosenberg and Tim LaHaye and others on his show all the time. David Barton was on yesterday. And, you know, who knows what ministry might be going on behind the scenes as these men speak into his life. So we need to pray for him because he is certainly speaking up for our country. And yet, at the same time, Christians cannot be duped into believing that the Christianity or the religion he is presenting is authentic Christianity, is Mormonism. Any final thought, Ed?
That's just it. I praise God for the program. I have signed up for a long time ago for Jan's newsletter, so they come in my email. I read them. I sometimes copy stuff out and recommend to my entire mail list that they get on her mail list. She is right on target, and I appreciate her ministry and you.
Brother, we appreciate you. Thanks for being on with me this hour. It's gone awfully fast. I appreciate and love Jan Markell, and thank her for letting me sit in this morning. I'm honored to do so. This is Eric Barger, Take a Stand Ministries, ericbarger.com, and this has been Understanding the Times Radio. Jan will be back next week. Go to olivetreeviews.org for more. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You can write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or call 763-493-3010, 763-493-3010. You also can order and donate safely online at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.